Couture's mask. Haunted by betrayal and remorse. I'm done.
So what exactly what was that?
I was reading the back of StarCraft.
And once again, he's going to be reviewing this for everyone, so anybody who's listening and thinks that we just jumped into him in mid-sentence for no apparent reason, that is why. No. All right, guys, so we are now on episode 2. Yay! I am your host, Adam Ward, and joining me is Isaac, Nick, Tyler, and Robbie. Say hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How's it going?
Hey.
So we're going to start off this week with something that has probably been happening for, 10 years? Or something along,
along
the lines of that. The Madden Curse, where basically whoever is on the cover of Madden ends up doing absolutely dreadful in the following NFL season.
Or gets injured.
Well, that in turn makes it an awful season. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, if they're not playing, then that makes them pretty awful. But to give us a little bit more information, I think Nick has some information to add in a lot more detail than what I just did.
There's been like over 10 years this has been going on. Started with Barry Sanders in 2000. He retired 1 week before training camp, and there's been a lot of other people that either broke a bone or went 4-7 for the record for the season, like Dante Culpepper, and just there hasn't been one person that's been on the cover that's done good.
Well,
last year was two people that hit.
Yeah, Larry Fitzgerald was the only one that actually wasn't affected that much, but Troy Polamalu only played 5 games due to a knee injury.
Fitzgerald still didn't win the Super Bowl, though.
No.
But what? So are you trying to say that if you don't win the Super Bowl, then you had a bad season? Like, that's pretty much what you were just saying. Like, that's not necessarily true.
I felt like there was something there. I can't remember what it was. Maybe he missed a catch or something, but...
Was he in, like... Sorry. Okay, for anybody who listened to the first podcast, you know I talk a lot. I carried that first podcast. But I am Canadian, and I don't know crap about football. So everything I say is going to be completely irrelevant or a very stupid question. For example, was who you were just talking about in the Super Bowl?
No. It was last year. It was the last Super Bowl was the Saints and the Colts, and Larry Fitzgerald played for the Cardinals. And I don't know if they went to the playoffs or
they lost.
They didn't get very far, at least.
They didn't win.
They were expected to do better.
Yeah.
So okay, well, who's on the cover this year?
Drew Brees for the Saints, quarterback.
Okay, and he carried the Saints last year, correct?
Pretty much.
He had an amazing year.
And he's a pretty young guy, if I think I remember correctly.
Yes.
All right, so do you know how many seasons that he's played offhand?
No, not off top of my head. Not that I can think of.
He is in his... he's 31 years old, so he's not too old, but he's played 10 seasons.
No, I thought it was going to be a lot lower, because what I, like, my argument to this would have just been something along the lines of that sometimes people who, you know, it, like, in your rookie year, sometimes you might have a rough rookie year, but then the second year in your sophomore year, you kind of bounce back. Or sometimes it's the other way around, where sometimes your rookie year is really, really rough, or really, really good. I don't even remember what I said originally, but sometimes it's the opposite. See, this is how much football gets to me. I just crack under the pressure. But, so, like, is this just superstition, or is this something that you guys actually believe, that this guy's just going to choke under the pressure?
I mean, there's 10 years that this has been going on, and not everyone has had, like, a horrible season or just not done as well as they did the year before. And I kind of believe it just because what has happened.
I'll say this, like, in one of the fantasy leagues I play in, if I have the opportunity to draft Drew Brees, I'm not going to. Not willing. It's not going to work out, I don't think.
See, like, I know, like, just in sports in general, there's, like, there's always that superstition that athletes are very, you know, particular about what they do. So, like, I know that in hockey, if you win the Hart Trophy, or no, not the Hart Trophy, it might be the President's Trophy, but if whoever wins like the title of their conference, they won't like touch it because it's bad luck. I know that. I remember when Sidney Crosby and the Penguins ended up winning the conference, and he didn't listen to like the superstition and everybody. And he ended up, you know, picking up the cup and carrying it around, and they ended up losing that year in the finals. And then the year later, he got another chance, another run at the cup, and he didn't pick it up, and they won the cup. So, spooky.
Something kind of interesting that's kind of similar to that is a few years ago, LaDainian Tomlinson, he's a running back for San Diego. He was offered to be on the cover, and he turned it down due to, I don't know if it was because of the curse, or he just decided not to do it. I guess there was a lot of, like, online petitions for him not to be in it, because people really didn't want him to get hurt or do bad for the team.
It's really, I think it's just silly, but I can't see somebody really turn down, like, an EA offer to be on the cover of, you know, something that they grew up wanting to be on the cover of. You know, like, some people thrive to be on the front page of magazines and stuff like that, want to be on Sports Illustrated. Other people thrive to be on the cover of video games because that's what they played when they were a kid. So, I mean, there's nothing really more of a compliment than being on the cover of something that you've always wanted to be in. Not to mention that you get to play as your own character. But, like, I can't imagine, like, it's like you make it into a game and then you find out that your character sucks.
Oh, that'd be terrible. I personally want to be on the cover of that Mario on the 360 game we talked about last week. I think that'd be good.
I think if Mario made it to the 360, he should have on his van, his creeper van, like a mural of him and Princess Peach. And Princess Peach would have to be, like, topless, holding, like, Yoshi, who looks very, like an actual dinosaur. Like, hardcore 80s mural.
Like a rep.
I'm sure there is something like that somewhere.
If not, we'll get our artist people on that. We'll have it made 1 week.
Like, if I could have that, I would get it on my car. I would take my mom's minivan and go deck it out in that. She'd be pissed as shit, but
I don't see why anybody would do this.
Yeah, well, it's just her work van, you know. So she can go deliver prescriptions, and like they'll come out and be like, "What's that there on your van?" That's my impression of an old woman, but she might think that it looks like somebody who lives in her senior's home or drives around a lot, creeping the place out. But so, anyways. If you haven't heard that conversation prior to now, I suggest you go and listen to Podcast 1, which can be found on Podomatic and iTunes, which you will also be able to find this one on.
Hopefully soon.
Yeah, we'll eventually spread our horizons, to say the least. I don't really think spread was the right word.
No, it was all right. Butter the bread.
Expanding.
Exploring. Going on an adventure. Don't know what we'll find. But, so, Robbie, what do you have any thoughts on the whole curse? Do you believe in curses?
To an extent, I suppose. But I, like you, I don't really pay attention to football that much.
Smart man. Very smart man.
No comments.
It's not that I don't pay attention to football. Like, I just don't know statistics, and I could care less, really. I mean, I like playing the Madden games. Like, they're fun to play. I like the concept of actually being able to, you know, make plays in front of your friends, and them doesn't matter if they screen hop because it doesn't make a difference.
But, that's always a plus.
Yeah, yeah, that really is a plus, isn't it? Any closing remarks, thoughts?
The curse is real.
Like,
and if you're listening to this and you grew up to be an NFL football player, do not be on the Madden cover. You'll have a terrible next season.
Like, is there like any way we can figure this out? Like, how about this? I say one of either Nick or Isaac.
Nick
can
do it.
You guys write an article and you throw it up on our website outlining
Nick.
What this curse is.
I can do
Nick
that.
Nick can do it because I'm going to be playing StarCraft and writing a review up for that.
Which we will have as soon as he starts playing the game. But... Tyler, do you have any closing remarks on the whole curse thing?
No, I don't.
Well, that's not very fun. Why don't
you?
Well, okay, how about, Tyler, curse real or not real?
I think it's real.
There you go.
All right.
Majority rules.
Well, why do you think that?
Majority rules? What do you mean?
It's 3-2. That's a majority.
Well, yes, I know that's a majority. But I never said I didn't think the curse was real.
Either way.
Yeah, well, yeah, either way. What if I could persuade you into think that it wasn't real?
But how do you know what's real and what isn't?
We'll just get Scooby-Doo on the case.
We get philosophical.
How do you know it's not just a dream?
Okay, just because you went and saw Inception today, don't start pulling dream stuff in this podcast. This is not a dream, trust me. I'm going to go dream after we're done the podcast, because it's been a long day. But moving on to the next topic. Whether or not games should just be digitally downloadable. And so we're taking away discs and cartridges and everything we know about video games right now and just allowing the consumer to take it right from the internet, right from the source. So what does everybody think of this?
Restarted?
I don't know.
PSP Go. As you all know, the PSP Go did that, and they went to just digitally downloaded, and a lot of people are not impressed with it because it doesn't have everything.
It is a PSP after all.
Hey, they don't have every game.
I see an issue with it. I mean, there's pluses to it because you can download it from wherever you have internet. But I see a problem with it because most kids aren't going to have a credit card or bank account to, you know, buy with credits or whatever. So I could see that being an issue.
Well, see, right there. My issue with it is I would imagine that the price would have to end up being cheaper because, I mean, part of the cost is actually developing, like, all the material that goes into making a disc or making the packaging.
Box art.
Yeah, all that stuff would no longer be needed. And, I mean, if you get to that point, then you're actually cutting jobs out of the video game industry, which is never a good thing. I mean,
especially in this recession.
All right, let's not talk about recessions, all right? Not everybody's country's in a recession. anyways. But, like, you know, I see your point. A lot of kids don't have credit cards, but if you go down that route, my argument to that is, well, you can get a Wii
Game
Points
cards.
Card. Yeah.
Right.
And that would be the solution to that problem.
Right, but then you would totally kill stores like GameStop and such because
they'd be fine. Don't worry about it.
Well, no, not necessarily. Well, because if you totally take away the next generation of gaming, like you
they
don't
can
have,
still sell accessories and systems.
Well, okay, but still, but you can buy. I'd rather buy a system from like Target where it's a few bucks cheaper and it's the same thing.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
maybe
GameStop's gonna like raise the prices of everything. Like,
maybe
be a few hundred dollars more.
Maybe I just don't care about GameStop right now because they sell me things that don't work. Budokai 3. All I'm gonna say.
Well, I think here's just a general question, everybody. When it's Christmas time and your birthday, what do you ask for?
Name?
Anything. Just a generalized answer. What do you usually want?
iPod Touch.
Game, movie, TV shows.
Gift cards or money.
Money.
The latest electronic device.
A Frisbee?
Okay. So you would be fine with just getting, say, a card, and you open your card up and it says, "Dear Isaac, it's your birthday, and I hope it's a good one. Instead of you actually having a gift this year, we're just going to present you with a card inside of this card. And you can go and...
A card inside a card.
I know, right? Yeah, a card inside of a card. It's revolutionary. And you take that, and then you can go and download the game that we purchased for you via this card with a code. Because I would imagine that's how they would do it. And so would you be fine with that as a gift?
Mm-hmm. I'd probably be all right with that.
I mean, you don't...
Like birthday, not Christmas.
You don't use the box after...
Whoa. Why
not
put
the game in?
What's the difference between Christmas and your birthday?
Well, you said only one thing. Like, if I got, like, eight of those, then I'd be all right with it. You expect more on Christmas.
Well, my point is that, like, on those types of holidays and birthday, like, I personally would rather have something to open than to just get a card.
It is more fun to open things.
Say, like, for all we know, they might not even... Let's hypothetically say that if your parents bought you a game, all you would get is a print-off receipt, and on the receipt there's a code. And you take that code, and then you would go on to your console, go to the store, and be able to download it when you put in the code that's on the receipt.
Yeah, it wouldn't be as much fun. That's how it would work.
I'd be happy.
Is that as good as getting a gift where you have to unwrap it, feel it in your hands? Like, for me, that would just take the joy out of it.
Well, do you only get video games for Christmas? Like, you'll get more, I mean...
No, you wouldn't. It's the same price. How would you get more?
No, but I mean, like, you only get one video game for Christmas?
No. This is, like, generality. Like, I'm not saying that you would only get one, but I'm just saying, like, for Christmas, I would only get one video game, or at least now. Or for my birthday, I would only get one video game from my parents, or what have you. FYI, I am 20 years old, yes, and I still ask for video games. This is irrelevant, doesn't matter. But
doesn't that fit into the majority of gamers, though?
Well, yeah, now.
That age group?
Well, we're at the age group now where pretty much everybody who was a gamer as a kid is now at the peak of...
Everybody plays video games. That's what the Wii is for.
So anyway, back on topic.
Yeah, back on topic. So I personally feel that I would not be able to, just for that one reason, I would not be able to before having just digitally downloadable games. That's only one reason.
I'd be happy with it because you save the environment by not using all the...
Shut up.
See, well, here's my, like, I have my other reason is this, is when you start making it so it's only digitally downloadable games, then the whole downloadable process completely relies on your own internet connection and your broadband, or your bandwidth, sorry. If you don't have a large bandwidth, then you're taking up your entire bandwidth in the matter of time that you're downloading a game. So by you doing that, that means you take up all your bandwidth, therefore you have to pay extra just to download the remainder of the game, and then anything you download after that, you would also have to pay extra money. So unless the price for the game is going to drop extreme amounts of money, which I doubt it would, I can't see there being a bonus to that. Take that, environment.
Yeah, take that, Al Gore.
But another thing about only digital downloads is a lot of people like to get used games, and a lot of people sell back their games. When you get digital downloads, you can't get used games. You're buying them at full retail price because they're not going to mark it down just because it's digitally downloaded.
Valid point.
Okay, but well, my response to that then is, well, I'm sure they would be able to notice what games are getting downloaded and what games aren't, so they would probably just reduce the prices of the games that aren't getting downloaded so that way they can just...
Yeah, but Adam, okay, let's say you
buy
a game,
reason.
You're looking forward to it a lot. It turns out to be not so great. You want to turn it in and put that money towards a different game. You're not going to be able to do that with a digital download.
Well, no. Yeah, I agree.
So pay more attention to different reviews.
Yeah, but it's not like you're going to have wrong. A review right away. Like, I bet you any money there's at least one person in this call who has a game pre-ordered right now.
Not it.
Call of Duty.
Not a...
Yeah, exactly. He has Call of Duty. And say Call of Duty ended up turning out to be a bust.
Like Modern Warfare 2.
There's no reviews right now, so how would he know?
You don't pre-order it. How would you be able to pre-order a digital download if it was always going to be there?
You can't even count on like other people's opinions all the time. Like when The Conduit came out, I heard a lot about this. And you're going to have to buy it, so I bought it. Then I got sick of it, and everybody started yelling at me, and I sold it.
Gee, doesn't that sound familiar? I think I heard that too once about Monster Hunter Tri. Oh, man, we're not going to play anything else. We're just going to jump over to Monster Hunter Tri, and it's going to be the best game ever.
I personally like the game.
I like the game, I just don't have the
time. I do too.
Obviously does, since he has like 500
hours. I can't believe that you're saying that Monster Hunter is anything like The Conduit.
No. I'm not comparing it to quality of game.
Especially quality-wise.
No, I was just saying that it was the same type of thing to where we were hazed into getting the games.
You weren't hazed because you went out on yourself and bought it with your own money. We didn't give you money and say, here,
go
get this.
Next week on the podcast.
You went out and got it. You fell into peer pressure.
Yeah, I did.
That's your own fault.
Hazing. What do you think hazing is?
We didn't, force you down to do it.
You're like, if you don't do it, we'll not be friends with you no more.
No, we did not say that.
They so did. I'm not lying.
No.
We said that to Adam.
Actually, it was all Nick. It was all Nick that did
it. It was all Nick, though. It was all Nick.
It was not me.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
So how about those digital copies of games? In my opinion, I think it's going to take away a lot. Like, I don't see it ever going, just digital. Like, you see right now with movies where you can buy a movie... You could buy a movie on the internet over your PlayStation or probably Xbox. I don't own one.
Or
you can rent it like that too, but that's besides the point.
You can't rent games from digital downloads either.
No, but you can have demos.
You get demos.
Demos are a lot like renting.
That's not the same. Yeah. I don't consider that to be like renting.
But that's another big thing, is people rent games.
Well, you can... I know for a while Steam had a thing where you could play a game for 2 or 3 days, like a full game, and then after the 3 days they would cut it off, so you can't play anymore.
A trial?
No. iTunes has a renting system for movies.
Yeah,
why wouldn't they be able to do the same thing?
Then you can make the argument that you could do refunds on a game.
Yeah.
Doesn't PlayStation Plus have a thing where you can download a game and play for so long, and then after that, it cuts you off?
No, PlayStation Plus is you subscribe to the PlayStation Plus. I don't know what you subscribe to. Under it, you get a bunch of free games, and then if you don't pay your membership, then they'll take it back, but you don't get refunded.
But I thought one of the features was it lets you rent a game, I guess you could say, for so long. It's a full game, and it only lets you rent it for so long before it cuts you off, but you can keep the save.
Well, here's an interesting article, or an interesting quote, was that Shane Kim, the head of Microsoft Game Studios, was quoted saying that pretty much that the firm is a long way from being able to develop full game releases in digital. And this is probably something that I have to agree. I know, aside from all the arguments that we've made, I think that it's just something that's not in the midst of happening right now. Maybe somewhere down the line on a different console that doesn't exist currently. Maybe. But before it ever becomes integrated into just a single system that all it has is downloadable content and that's it, the PSP Go, Look how that did. It was a bust. Worst, probably one of the worst things Sony ever made. But
have you looked at Move?
What about the iToy?
Those are all valid points, but I have to say that PSP Go is the worst thing they've ever made.
What about when they released the PlayStation 3 controllers without the rumble? No, what about when they had those boomerang PlayStation 3 controllers?
Hey, those were
so
awesome.
I don't think PSP Go was the worst thing that Sony's ever done.
What about the PSP, period? Sorry.
No, too soon. Too soon.
Nothing's wrong with the PSP.
But then
there's
again,
stuff wrong with the PSP games, but they're getting new ones. Kingdom Hearts. All that matters.
One
then
game.
Again, look
one
what
game
I
to rule them all.
Yeah, people don't buy systems for just one game.
That
Halo.
Sounds familiar.
Halo.
I think we had that conversation last week.
Okay, yeah, listen to last week's podcast.
If you want to hear about people buying a system for a game. It's a fun time, I guarantee it. I'm kidding.
But another thing, look at iTunes. iTunes killed CDs.
No, they like, didn't.
Oh,
CDs.
I know, I
did. No, iTunes did not kill CDs.
So illegal, you want to tell me...
Illegally downloading music killed CDs, and that didn't even kill CDs.
The
so
industry...
you go out and buy CDs.
Right now.
You can still buy CDs. Like, CDs still sell a lot, because what happens is people buy and or steal a song, and then they'll like it, and then they'll go and buy the actual CD.
Or they'll buy a CD after a concert that they go to.
Yeah. And CDs still sell very well. And
really?
records are even making a comeback.
That's because those are cool. When, like, someone,
they're
like,
so outdated.
Records.
Like, you get such a crappy sound off of a record. But it's vintage.
But it's like the vibe. The
vintage
vibe
is in. Vintage is in. It's all about nostalgia.
You gonna pull out your leg warmers?
Last time I checked, girls were leg warmers.
I know what I said.
Bazinga.
But anyways, like I was saying before, I just think that if anything, it would be integrated slowly, like piece by piece. So maybe the next set of consoles will have a digital download option, but they'll also sell hard copies.
Oh, well, I'll have to.
Doesn't Microsoft do that now with Live?
I mean, technically, you can make the argument that they all do that. I mean, WiiWare games, Virtual Console games.
No, I mean, I think you can buy, like, full games on Xbox Live.
I know you can for PlayStation 3.
Well, I can buy a PlayStation 1 game on PlayStation 3. And did recently.
I know you can
and
buy
the
like,
PSP, not the Go, you can buy full games and have the UMD.
Well, for the sake of the argument, let's say only brand new games. Nobody does that. Mm. Well, you could do it online for PC.
The PSP, they update their PlayStation Network like all the time, and then for new releases.
PSP Go was made, and it was the worst thing they did. We just went through this. Anything you say about the PSP is just going to get a negative.
No more PSP talk. We're done with it for the rest of the podcast. We don't have anything.
It's not done. Yeah. It'll come up in the most random time in the remainder of the podcast.
We'll bring it up next topic. I'll do it for sure.
You'll make some
a PSP cameo.
Joke. Find a way.
PSP cameo. Piece by piece, we're just going to make sure the PSP shows up in each and every podcast from here on out. In some form.
Hey, I like my PSP, personally.
I don't have anything wrong with... Okay, I have a lot wrong with PSP. Especially the PSP Go. It's just the games that just aren't there. I like the aspect that you can watch movies. I think that's...
It's a big screen.
You can watch movies on the DS.
Okay, we're not comparing a DS to a PSP. That argument is not happening in this podcast.
DS is twice as good because it has twice as many screens.
And one's touchable.
Alright, let's have this discussion later.
What are we talking about again? Downloadable games?
Exactly.
Well, I thought we moved on to the PSP.
Yeah. No, that's in every podcast.
What if there's any new news for that PSP? Do-do-do-do-do.
So, when you say psychosomatic, you mean like he could start a fire with his thoughts?
It's time for This Week in Gaming. Batman fans rejoice the sequel to Arkham Asylum has received the name, Arkham City. Arkham City sends players into the new maximum security home for all of Gotham's villains. The sequel introduces a brand new story and a new cast of classic characters. Jumping to first-person shooters, Activision released a multiplayer trailer for Call of Duty Black Ops. Boy, does it ever look good. The trailer outlines new weapons, confirms customizable killstreaks, and shows off some really cool toys in the game. The Conduit 2 seems to be looking awfully familiar. Box art was released for the game and looks way too much like Halo. StarCraft II Wings of Liberty was released last week. The game is said to have sold more than 1 million copies on the first day of release. Isaac will have a full review of the game within the next few weeks. For all these stories and more, you can come and visit us at our website. And if you have any ideas, comments, or just want to give us some love, visit us at dpadnews.wordpress.com. For This Week in Gaming, I'm Adam Ward.
We're going to discuss the differences between tactile controls and touch controls. Tactile controls is something that you can feel, opposed to obviously touching. So, you know, a D-pad or a joystick.
Hey, that's the name of the podcast, D-pad.
Name placement. Hell, let's even say you could use the power glove. That, of course.
It's so bad.
What's wrong with the power glove?
What about the Wii Fit the board? From...
The Wii Fit board? I think that would. Yeah. That's definitely touch.
What would the Wii in general be?
A console?
It would be a mix of both. No, it's not. it would be tactile, for sure. Because you're not touching anything. Opposed to the DS is a mix of a tactile and a touch system. And obviously the DS, or not the DS, the iPod touch is a touch system. And I don't is yeah Zune's touch as well.
Yes, it is the new ones.
So, just firstly, what does everybody here, what do they prefer?
I prefer like a controller. I think it depends on the game, I guess.
I'd sort of rather have a controller for something.
Yeah, I prefer the controller too.
And I'm also going to agree with everyone.
You're just doing it to fit in.
But also to go against the grain a little bit, I would say that some games are better with a touchscreen where others aren't.
See, I'm gonna have to kind of be on the fence about it. Only because, okay, firstly, I hate games on the iPod Touch. Like, when they try to implement some sort of joystick that's touchable rather than an actual joystick, it's the most god-awful controls to try and use.
Those do not work very well. Have to agree with that.
Those are, if anything, I would have to say that that is worse than the PSP Go.
Got it back in.
Got it back
there's
in.
There's the cameo.
But
aside from that, I mean, on the DS, it was, for the most part, it was done really, really well. And one of the problems that existed was in Scribblenauts, there's a lot of issue with being able to control the character only with your stylist. And a lot of times the precision was kind of off, and it was hard to control him. So, I really think that it just depends. It depends on what type of game it is. If you're playing, like, a first-person shooter game, or if you're playing a role-playing game, it really all depends.
Well, with my DS, one of the games that I found worked the best was WarioWare Touched. Like, that was just amazingly fun. And I can't even see myself trying it on something like the Wii, just because I'd rather be right on that screen with the stylus and whatnot.
Yeah, no, I agree. But see, then again, that game was specifically structured towards touch. Like, that is even in the title.
It was.
So, let's take that aspect, though, and let's do a hypothetical situation where you're playing a game, and this game has to do, it's an adventure. Let's say it's an RPG. Now, if the game is tailored to support both touch and tactical games, do you prefer to... Which would you choose if you had a choice between the two?
Tactile.
And why?
Well, I mean, just thinking back, like, the RPG I'm gonna say is the new Pokemon games on the DS, where you can select the moves and whatnot with the stylus, or you can move it around the little pad and select things. I'm gonna say that because I don't like to hold around the stylus while I'm actually playing. Like, I'd rather just walk around and press the buttons. It's just easier and more comfortable to hold.
I kind of find that to be kind of gimmicky. I find that, at least for most of the DS uses, it just seems, when it's incorporated into a game where most of it's, a tactile form of control, and then they try to incorporate some sort of touch element, and ends up being more like that really gimmicky type of thing, like, oh, well, if you spin your stylus really, really quick, you'll make the perfect poffin if you're playing Pokemon, or collect all the berries and, you know, like, Mario Party or something along the lines. I find it to be a really gimmicky situation. But at sometimes, like, when you're in a battle like that, it's a lot quicker. You can go through things a lot faster. In that aspect, I think it's better. So, any other thoughts?
But the reason I prefer tactile is because, like, touchscreens can be very glitchy sometimes. Like,
I agree.
My iPod Touch is not the most responsive thing. And then I had a cell phone that was touchscreen, and it was the worst piece of crap ever. I hated that phone so much. And ever since then, I've been so sketchy about touchscreens, because they're very iffy if they're going to work 100%. Like, I have yet to see a touchscreen that works 100%.
My mom has a Droid, and it works pretty good. Like, I'd say it's comparable to an iPhone and the touchscreen.
Well, okay, I'll throw this question out there. Is touchscreen the future of gaming?
No.
No.
I don't see it, really.
Motion controls.
I see 3D the next big step.
Well, that's for a different conversation.
No, I see virtual reality as being the stopping point.
Well, that's not for a while.
Right. We'll talk about that in 10 years.
Like, we'll talk about that when Kinect comes out.
Oh, God.
Which will be, like, 2 years.
Kinect will year. Be out this year.
Oh, I knew that.
Very good. Way to do your research.
Well, I'm sorry I don't want to research things that I think are fail.
It's still undetermined. Nor will we supply our personal opinions on Kinect until it's released.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
We forgive you.
So any closing thoughts on it? So yay or nay to touchscreen?
I say yay if they get it to work. But it has to work.
Yeah, I say there's a certain point for it to work well, so I'd say yay.
I think in some games it works really well, and some developers know how to use it, so I'll say yay.
I'm going to be that one jerk that goes right down the middle and says something like the DS works best, where it has both, and I do not want to play games on my iPod.
I have to agree with Rad.
Two jerks.
Two jerks. One but here's, iPod.
Can I bring a question up for you guys?
Perhaps.
Would you rather play solitaire on a touchscreen or on a D-pad where you have to shuffle through all the cards?
Touchscreen.
So that just goes along with my other point saying that, you know, in certain cases, touchscreen is better.
Yeah.
Touchscreen is better in certain cases.
Okay, my argument to that is then, would you rather play Tetris on a touchscreen or on a D-pad?
Touchscreen.
Ooh, I don't know, because you were talking about that glitchy thing earlier, and you get that one block.
Well, do you guys know what the Glide is? Like the Glide phone?
Sure.
Anyone?
Let's say yes.
It was the worst piece of crap ever. I'm just saying that. The touchscreen was so bad, and anyone that's ever had a Glide, you would know how bad that phone is.
Well, like, so I don't even find touchscreen to be that precise.
Well, I just don't even think it should be used in phones, but that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, we don't discuss phones here. That's not what we
sorry.
Do. Wait a...
You get your phone opinions at CNET.
That was not a sponsored drop. We do not get paid for saying the name CNET.
Although if CNET wants to write us a check, that would be fine.
We are more than obliged if CNET were to help us.
Wasn't advertising.
Neither are we.
In that case, Gatorade, Nike, Monster.
PSP.
Just kidding. Yeah, PSP. How many times has that been mentioned today?
Not enough, PSP. Well, that wraps up this week. Now we're done episode 2, so we're going to be on episode 3. Good job, guys. Claps all around.
Yay.
Thank you for joining us on this wonderful adventure. For any of your video game, movies, music, and everything else that we try and do, come and visit us at dpadnews.wordpress.com. And everything that we talked about today will be on there. And definitely check out our podcast that we did last week, and once again, you can check that out on Podomatic and iTunes. And guys, we need you to comment, because we need to know what your thoughts, what you think, what we're doing wrong, what you want us to do.
give us what you're thinking. And you can also follow us on Twitter, D-Pad News. All right, so I'm your host, of course, Adam, and everyone say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
See you later.